it is wonderful to see you and be together. And I love how the Holy Spirit began this evangelism time together with us, you know, gathering as his body. And I really have been, it's like the Holy Spirit keeps burning that into my heart, and I believe our hearts, and the hearts of those in the first church and ever since, that he wants to share his life with the world through his body. And just as simple as when God sent his son in the form of a little baby who grew into a man, Jesus of Nazareth, the life of God was in just one human being, just one. But that one human being did the greatest evangelism mission of ever in all of time. When he died on the cross, he literally evangelized the world and gave his life so that the entire world and every generation could be saved and could be a partaker of the divine nature and proliferate his spirit. So, is everything okay? So that same method is still intact, and we see it based on the scriptures. You know, this is something where it's the Word of God that we are coming under the authority of, and searching the scriptures for Jesus and to see the pattern, to build according to the pattern in God's Word, and not to go with our own understanding or any ideas apart from what God has given us in his Word. And so we see in the Word that when God moved to share his life with the world, which is kind of what we call evangelism, that he moved through Jesus, the man, and having the life of God inside of Jesus, that one man, that life was given to the world when he died on the cross. And now God still wants to give his life to the world through a man, a mankind, a humanity, the body of Jesus. And all those who have been born again, we see it in 1 Corinthians and in so many of Paul's epistles and throughout the Word, that God sees us as his body. Those who have partaken of Christ are members of Christ and members of his risen body. And therefore, now that life of God, that life of Christ, is in all who have been born again of incorruptible seed, who have partaken of Jesus as their life at new birth, and continue to allow Christ to be their life and even to be formed in them and give himself through them. Well, there's many scriptures, many other classes that discuss all of those areas that are in the Word of God. But today, this course is about change the world, evangelism. And that begins with the life of Jesus in us, his body. And so let's turn to Acts chapter 2, and we'll continue looking in those verses where we began last week and seeing the pattern, seeing how the first evangelical outreach through the risen body of Jesus began and how it actually formed and was patterned according to the Word and the movement of God. And we're going to look at the scriptures. I love that the way the Lord is sharing this class with us is very richly based on the Word of God, and that we're going to be seeing things in scripture for all of us to contemplate before we move to some practical ways of doing outreach together, which is coming in this class as well. So we want to start with the Word, and we want to see it in the scriptures, and that's what we're doing. So let's just pray, and then we'll take a look in chapter 2 a little further. Lord, we just come to you this morning. Lord, we come to the one who is our life. Father, we come as your son, partakers of Jesus. Jesus, your son, is inside of us, his body. That same son, your beloved son, your son, Father, is in us, his body. You put him there, Lord. And Father, we want to let your son live through us together. We want the world to know Jesus, to show forth who he is, to share the life that you've so freely given us with others, that they might so freely partake and have you inside, have you as life. So Lord, just guide our hearts. Let it not be a time of studying the scriptures, but of our hearts being prepared to let your son live and go forth from us in a way that will bring other people to know Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Acts chapter 2. We looked at verse 1 last week, and I'm just going to refresh our memories a little bit on the path we've been taking. Verse 1 says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." And we talked about that a lot, and I don't want to recap that just for the sake of being able to move forward. But we see that this gathering that began before Jesus came and gave them his life, or even the Spirit came and filled them, was in a certain heart. They were all together. They were in one place together. They were in one heart together. They weren't the body of Jesus yet, because he hadn't breathed life into them. But they were coming together in that way. And verse 2, it says, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind, and it was the Spirit filling the place." And we saw that the Holy Spirit responded to the way they were gathered. That was one of the things. He was responding mostly, we'll be discussing in a moment, what the Holy Spirit was also responding to. But he came and he filled that place. And, you know, we can put our trust in our way of evangelizing, like the tract we wrote, or the way we can appeal to people's hearts to know Jesus in our own emotions, or how we can convince them of the scriptures and their truth and the validity based on our own reasoning and our powers of persuasion or of debating or of logic. But we're putting our trust in our flesh if we do that. But if we trust God to be the key and only major factor in evangelism, then we're looking for the Holy Spirit to deliver the message. We may be speaking, but he's bringing the breath of life. He's opening the blind eyes. He's sharing the spirit of the thing. So we're not on our own. We're never going out there in our own strength by ourselves for God to do something to help him out. He's in us, through us, on them. It's all wrapped up in the living Godhead. And our trust is in the Lord. And from the beginning, even before they began as the church, the Spirit of God came in like a mighty rushing wind, started moving. Before they moved, the Spirit moved. Before the Spirit moved, Jesus moved and gave his life on the cross. Before Jesus moved and gave his life on the cross, the Father moved and sent his Son. You got to see that. God moved. The Father sent his Son. The Son gave his life, and the Spirit came to bear witness of it. That's God. That's way more, we could never do any of that. It's the same when we witness to somebody. It's not us carrying the whole load. We're all wrapped up and swallowed up and filled up with God. He's on the scene. He's the one we're putting our trust in. And when it's the Lord, people come to know Jesus. You know, the most powerful conversion is when the Lord is there. It's the Lord they experienced. It's the dying of the Lord Jesus. It's the nature of Christ. It's the true beauty of his person that they see. And the Holy Spirit bears witness to them of. So God is on the scene. In chapter 2, verse 2, we see that. In verse 3, and I don't think we made it to 3, in chapter 2, it says, "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them." So the Spirit appears as cloven tongues of fire and is sitting upon each of them. So there's fire coming in now. "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit." So here we have the Holy Spirit now lighting up the offering. The Holy Spirit is like fire falling from heaven to consume the sacrifice, to make these guys the living, given body of Jesus down here on earth. It's happening. The fire is falling and it's remaining upon them. And they are beginning to speak in other tongues, filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Notice that they are speaking as the Spirit gives them utterance. You know, that's different than just sharing what you feel like you're supposed to share. Has anyone ever experienced the difference when the Lord is giving you utterance and you know, I'm full of the Holy Spirit right now, and God is speaking through me, and I know this is the Lord at work, and He is touching that person. Has anyone ever experienced that? You just knew. And afterwards, they might have said, you led me to Jesus, God. You led me the way, and you knew in your heart. I did not lead you to Jesus. The Holy Spirit filled me. It was His words. It was the Lord, the presence of the Lord, the life of the Lord. You experienced Jesus in the power of the Spirit, and it was Him that you met, and it was Him that you... Isn't that so much better than someone trying to lift you up and make you the special one? Or, to lift you up and make you the special one, or to lift up, or you to lift up yourself, as it was what I did, it was what I said, you know, and you look back years later and go, God was there when that person got led to the Lord. God did that. That wasn't me doing that. And if someone starts to take credit for it, don't you kind of feel weird? Like, that wasn't you. God was the one who was there. I received Jesus that day. So these people are filled up with new life, another spirit. God is filling them, and they're speaking in other tongues. Let's keep reading and see what it says. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So they're with the Lord. They're being filled with His words. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in parts of Libya, Cyrene, sojourners from Rome, and Jews and proselytes. Okay, so gathered together in Jerusalem at this time were men from all these nations. And because they spoke the words in which the Spirit was giving them utterance, they were speaking in a foreign language, but also in a language that all of these different nations could comprehend, just as if someone was speaking to them from the very place that they were born. Well, let's just think about that. That they are speaking to all these nations in a way that every single man, woman, child can comprehend, as if someone was speaking to them in just their own hometown, the words that the Spirit was trying to share about Jesus. Isn't that incredible? Okay, so there's something there for our hearts to wrap around and our faith to grab a hold of that has to do with what goes on when we're doing evangelism. If we move with the Holy Spirit and we let God fill us up and give us utterance, then it doesn't matter who we're talking to. They're going to hear by the Lord about Jesus. Didn't Paul say, I want to become all things to all men, so that if by any means some might believe? It was a very evangelical sentence that Paul was sharing. I want to reach all men, no matter what their culture is or where they're from. I want to let Jesus in me reach them through me. But to be Jesus. And Paul, knowing the Spirit of Christ, was like, he's going to make himself, he's going to lower himself, he's going to humble himself in a manner that will be easily entreated by whomsoever he's sharing with. He's not going to make that person conform to him, but he's going to allow the Spirit of Christ to bring that person into the place where they can partake. That's so the way God is. And if we are sensitive to His life in us and His Spirit through us, then He's going to give us the way to reach hearts. Whatever language, whatever culture, whatever background, wherever they're from, the Lord in us knows how to love them and to speak in a manner that they can hear and receive and know Jesus. Now, in this first version of it, it sounded like they were speaking in different languages, and they were, and even dialects and even mannerisms, of course, that could reach their hearts. But that's the pattern that we're coming into as the church, that when we allow the Spirit of God to move through us, He brings utterance, He brings words in ways that display Jesus in a manner that they can receive. He brings understanding to the person we're speaking to. He brought so much understanding to these people that they even felt like it was in their language from their own hometown. I mean, isn't that amazing? How different would that be from us going in there in our own wisdom, with our own program, in our own strength, trying to use our own logic, you know what I'm saying, to persuade them of what we know is God in the way we learned it, in the wording that we understand? Do you see the difference of nature in that? One is all about, this is what I know, this is how I understand it, this is where I was born in my culture, in my church, in my teaching. And you see what I'm saying? And so you need to humble yourself and minister to me by receiving it in the way I like to share it. So we're asking an unsaved person to lay their life down so we can get on our high horse or our tall pulpit and share the gospel with them in the way that we feel the most comfortable doing it, in our best way that we personally like to share it. And we wonder why they might not come to Jesus. You know, I and this is not critical at all, but I've watched TV shows where they have a method and they all come in a room and they're like, these 10 steps or these 5 ways of convincing them they're sinners or these 10 steps of leading them. I don't know. I'm not really referring to any group. I just, this principle I've seen before, and everybody needs to follow this path. When you get one of those sinners in your grasp, you need to grab your little list, write it on your hand, and start going down the to-do list of how to get them to Jesus. Now, if the Spirit of God moves in you to give an utterance and an approach that could be loving and displaying His nature and, you know, getting low and being the way they need to be to see Jesus and to understand, don't do it. Stick with the list. The list is God. The method, that didn't happen in the first church. The list was the Holy Spirit, the nature of Jesus, thinking about others, and then God the Father birthing Christ into someone else. Do you see what I mean? The list was the Godhead. The method was a broken and contrite spirit. And the need was to be filled with the life of God so they could experience Jesus, the living one. Now, what a difference that would be, right? And these are just some of the beginning elements that the first church had when they were getting ready to do evangelism. Now, one of the questions in the Change the World Evangelism course, in the little questionnaire and homework pages, has to do with this question. It said, what would it have been like if the first church did not do evangelism? Not good. It would have just stayed kind of short. Yeah. That was a part of how God used them as the body of Jesus to increase the church, to build. But He wasn't using them in their strong logic and or their great witnessing abilities and their own ways of getting it done. He used them because they were the body of Jesus. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. Christ was in them, the life of Christ, the Son, God the Father. He was sending them as Him, you know? He was their secret method. And that is where our trust lies. And it's amazing to be a partaker and a beholder of the living God working through us and someone else partaking of Him and just be there, you know, experiencing the Lord. Well, you can believe that those people who were in the upper room after the Holy Spirit filled them and started speaking through them, lit them up, and started speaking through them, they were amazed at what, don't you think if you were one of those people in the room and the Holy Spirit lit you up as part of the offering, filled you up with the life of Jesus, and sent you out there and gave you the utterance to reach all these people in a way that they could partake of Christ, how do you think you'd feel after that? when you came back to the upper room to just chat and have a cup of tea and a digestive biscuit? Would you be saying, did you see what Marcia did? She was amazing. She was on fire. And then someone else would go, that wasn't her on fire. That was the Holy Spirit came like a flame and landed on her, lit her up, because Christ is the, see, that was God. And then did you see how Isaac, the way he convinced that person that the Bible's true? That was the Spirit of God giving an utterance, not by the wisdom of man. Natural man cannot see, right? Eye is not seen, ear is not heard, heart is cannot comprehend. But only the Spirit can give that. That was the Lord at work through him. God was right there. All, and then you use these words, all glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? And you're just part of it. You're just like right there feasting with that person. You get as much of the Lord in a certain way as they did, because it was the Lord. You know, I've done things where we'd like do an outreach and we'd practice and practice and go through all these things and we'd have all of our ducks in a row and everything would go perfectly. But we were trusting in our preparations. We were trusting in our evangelism tool that God gave us. We were trusting in if we did it perfectly, it would go well, right? We weren't coming out there like broken vessels, emptied of self, desperately in need of the Lord, trusting the living God's going to fill me up in my barren, empty lack, and people are going to experience Jesus through me well beyond the program that we're doing. They're going to feel life hit them right between the eyes because I am broken and I know that that treasure is in this earthen vessel and the Spirit of God is going to give utterance well beyond words and whatever we're doing to reach them with the life of Christ right in the heart. Grab a hold of their hearts and say, Jesus, amen. That's a whole different faith than every line is perfect. Every I is dotted. Every T is crossed. We're well rehearsed. Everything is ready. The technology, the equipment, the performance, the way, the preparation needs to be of the heart. If we're broken, that's even better than being strong, because God can get out. If we can't do it, then God can. If we're not good at witnessing, we're probably the best one for God to use that day. Amen? Because it has to be Him. So we see that in the first church, and it draws our hearts to not put confidence in ourselves, but to trust in the Lord who is in us, but us being the weak earthen vessel made of clay, broken with cracks, and that God can just sneak right out of those, shine right out of those, pour right out of those, and reach people with the living Jesus. Does that not sound so wonderful? And to do it with the body, isn't that even greater? To do it with this corporate body so they can see even more of the Son through the many members who show forth His beauty. It's wonderful, and that's what's happening here. So I just think that as we look at these verses, we see that God had gathered people from all around the world. God did that. To be in Jerusalem. Now, do you think God sent out a conference memo or an evangelical memo saying we're going to have a big evangelical outreach and you're invited to come to our revival from Pamphylia and Mesopotamia, and we just like you to know on this day, Spirit's going to move and we're going to have a wonderful revival experience. God didn't have to use Facebook or email or all the technology. He just had them, God had them all gathered in one place ready so that when the Spirit fell after Jesus died, boom, it hit like fire and water and Spirit and life. 3,000 saved, right? Well, I'm sitting here in UNT campus area where there are literally people from all over the world right outside the window. Right outside the window of the building I'm in are people from literally so many different nations. I don't know how many. It would be hard to count. Well, I would like to get filled up with the Holy Spirit, broken enough for it not to be all about me and my great methods, and go out there and start sharing Jesus with some of these people that God gathered right outside the window. I'm getting ready, right? But I know that there was preparation that needed to happen before the Lord opened the door and they walked out and began to speak. Well, He's doing that right now in us. we're going to be going to Ireland, some of us here, in about 2.5 months. And there's all kinds of people in Ireland now from all different places. When I first went there 20 years ago, there was basically just Irish people in Ireland. But now there's people from all around the world. And it's opened the door for sharing Jesus to all different places in one place that used to just be one people. And that may be the truth of where you live, that, you know, or maybe the neighborhood you live in, or maybe something at work where God has gathered certain hearts that he has prepared to hear about his son, to partake of the living Jesus. And he's prepared you to be the vessel to share the life of Jesus through. He's prepared them, and he's prepared you, and he's brought you together for the life to happen. Amen? There's a timing to that. There's preparation that happens before that. But the hand and the heart of God is ordering those times and ordering those seasons for his son to be known, that all men might be saved, that none should perish. Jesus said, I would that all men might be saved and none perish. That's the heart of God. That's the heart of God in us. And he's willing to die on a cross, a most shameful death, so that nobody, not even the ones spitting in his face and betraying him, that no one would perish, that they would all have his life in them. He was willing to go through whatever it took to lay in hell with the transgressors, to bring them home into oneness with his life, to bring his life into them. Jesus is in us. That kind of love, God love, has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 5. It's not our love. It's not our zeal. Jesus said, the zeal of the Lord. David said, the zeal of the Lord has consumed me. I don't want my zeal for evangelism to be why I do this, because I will probably not even walk out the door then. You know, I'll get about 3 steps and then I'll go, nope. Don't want to do that. There's about 100,000 other things I'd rather do. And that's where my zeal takes me, just about 3 steps. But the zeal of the Lord has consumed me like fire in my soul, burning in my bones. The word of God's like fire, Jeremiah said, burning in my bones. I didn't want to speak, but the word was so on fire in my heart and my bones that I could not speak. And when it's the zeal of the Lord that takes us out to share his life with others, then who could be constrained? For the love of Jesus starts burning in us. And it's not our love. It's the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. It's not our zeal. It's the zeal of the Lord. God is at work in us. God, to reach out through us that none would perish, that all might know him. But it's got to be him instead of us. And he does that work. Well, there was something that needed to happen before this huge release of life, this floodgate opened through the risen body could come. And we see that also built into Acts. And I'm not sure how much further we want to go, because I really do want us to meditate on the points that we have been discussing, and also to digest those, because I think they're really big. The next point is that, okay, we'll go to the prophet Joel for a moment, and then we're going to review some of what we shared. We're going to just take a quick look at the prophet Joel. There's so much there that I want us to just search it out between this week and next week, and maybe even share a little next class. But let's remember that the whole premise of this in what we have been discussing is that, it's not us. We are the empty. We are the terrified and fearful. We are the broken. We are the ones who don't know what's going on, like the ones in the upper room. But we are his, and he wants to fill us, and he wants to use us. And so we see some patterns in the book of Joel. And again, we're just going to look at them quickly. But Joel... chapter, let's start with, let's read here in Acts, and we're going to refer to Joel. So starting with verse 14 in Acts chapter 2, where we've been looking. Oh no, let's start with verse 11. It says, Cretans and Arabians We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were perplexed, saying to one another, What meaneth this? Others, mocking, said, these men are full of new wine. So we've got not just those receiving what's happening through the church, through the believers here from Acts, but we've got mockers. And what the mockers are specifically saying is these people are drunk. What you're experiencing right now is drunkenness. And they're trying to discredit what God is doing through the believers, that it is God, and it is God moving mightily to bear witness of the death of Jesus and his life. So, and we're going to see that in this next chapter, in the rest of this chapter. But right now, we're going to look at these mockers. They're saying they're drunk, and then Peter stands up. He's like, okay, mockers, I'm going to address what you've just been saying. Because, you know, these guys are releasing the Holy Spirit, and Peter is watching as these mockers are going, you're drunk, they're drunk, they're drunk. It's just they're drunken. I mean, it's kind of like if we went somewhere to do evangelism and the Spirit of God just filled us up and God was just pouring out of us and we knew it was the Lord. And then there's these people that are just running around to everybody that you're talking to, standing right outside of you while you're speaking. They're drunk. They're just drunk. Whatever you think here, this is just a drunken thing. You know, and Peter stands up. He says, okay, I've had enough of that. They're drunk. Let's talk to them. And he says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken unto my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken through the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke, the sun will be turned to darkness, the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He just quoted Joel right there. That's all Joel. And interestingly enough, verse 21 says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So Peter's going, this is what Joel prophesied would happen after the great and terrible day of the Lord. Who knows what the great and terrible day of the Lord is? Lindsay?
The cross.
The cross. And where do we know that from? So it's all over the prophets, over and over and over, minor and major, the great and terrible day of the Lord. And if you listen to the classes on the priesthood, Randy did, I think in 2016, 17, about four classes on the New Testament priesthood, and the feasts and the offerings. And I think it's in the feasts and the offerings course, but there's a class called, the Great and Terrible Day of the Lord, Part 1, and then the Great and Terrible Day of the Lord, Part 2. I believe, I'm just saying that by memory. But in those two courses, I think they go over so many places where the Great and Terrible Day of the Lord is mentioned in the Old Testament, and every reference to it is the cross. So that's a great search. But this great and notable or terrible Day of the Lord that was spoken of in the prophet Joel is the day of the Day of Atonement, when they offered up the scapegoat. It's the day of the cross when Jesus was offered up as that scapegoat. And that is a terrible day. It's a dark day. It's like Calvary was the fulfillment of that, right? But it's a great day because God manifests in his eternal spirit and brings life to the world. So this great and terrible day comes before what happens here at Pentecost. In other words, Calvary comes before Pentecost. And Joel prophesied this, but you can look at that more when you search this out. But let's look at Joel chapter 1, verse 5, because we just want to see some context from the book of Joel with what Peter's saying and what's going on. Verse 5 of chapter 1 in Joel says, "Awake, ye drunkards, and weep, and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth." So in this verse, he's calling them drunkards, and he's saying that the new wine has been cut off. So that's an interesting reference to the cross and the lack of the Spirit within the people. You know, you can kind of see both there, and you can search that out more on your own. And then it says here in verse 16 of Acts, it says, "But this is that which was spoken through the prophet Joel." Let's look at verse 16, the one right after that one in chapter. Actually, let's look at verse 16 in chapter 1 of Joel, just a few verses over. It says, "Is not the meat cut off before your eyes? Yea, joy and gladness from the house of our Lord." So the meat offering being cut off is Jesus, the Lamb of God, being crucified before their eyes. So at this time in the book of Acts, all those believers that had been gathered in the upper room had experienced Jesus of Nazareth being crucified. He'd been cut off before their eyes, just like Joel prophesied. Those people, Mary, the mother of Jesus, who was one of the ones gathered in that room, the apostle John, the disciple John, who's in that room, many of the others probably, had seen Jesus crucified. They'd seen the meat offering cut off before their eyes. And it had brought them great sorrow. See what I mean? That real... Just a second, we've got a situation here. The reality of that had actually happened to this group. Like, they'd seen the meat offering cut off before their eyes. And experienced the sorrow of that, experienced the solemnity of that, which Joel speaks of this. But that's an interesting thing to take note of. And then let's look at Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. "And it will come to pass," this is part of what Peter quoted, "afterwards." Now let's just look at that word afterwards. "It shall come to pass afterwards." And if you look at all the verses that come before the word afterwards in the book of Joel, you'll see the cross. You'll see foreshadowing of the cross happening. So it says here in the part of the verses that actually were quoted by Peter during this day, "It will come to pass after that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." So Joel is saying something happens first before the Spirit is poured out. What happens before God pours out his Spirit? In the book of Joel, we see the meat offering being cut off. We see the cross happening. We see the Babylonian army coming in and devouring. You can search it out on your own. But once again, these scriptures in Joel are being fulfilled in the book of Acts. And therefore, it might behoove us to take a little time to search out what happened before verse 28, chapter 2 of Joel, before the Spirit, what happened in Acts before the Spirit was poured out. And we'll discuss that next week, along with what comes after in the manner in which they evangelize, because the two are connected. So for our homework for this week, for those who are kind of doing homework, I'd like us to look at what happens in Joel, and it's prophetic, so it's kind of veiled, but you can search the scriptures and see, and maybe we do some research. What happens before the blessing is poured out in chapter 2, verse 28, as it was quoted in Acts? And in then if you go to the book of Acts and continue on in chapter 2, verses 22 through 39, what happened next in the progression of witnessing? What happened before chapter 2, verse 28 in Joel that preceded the pouring of the Spirit, what happened before in the book of Acts that preceded the pouring of the Spirit, what happens after, starting with verse 22 in chapter 2 of Acts, in the manner in which they evangelize. That will be our next class. So we'll discuss that further next week, but this hopefully will give you some time to get in the Word and search it out on your own and let the Spirit of God start showing you some things so it will resonate a little more when we come together next week. And just to kind of begin to wrap things up for this class, recapping what we've already said, that when they were filled with the Spirit and the Lord began to give them utterance, there was a certain approach that happened by the Lord's life within them that caused people to be able to hear and receive just as if they were at their own hometown. And although that may have been just kind of a manifestation of tongues and such at this time in the book of Acts, I believe spiritually it shows how when we are filled up with the Lord and His Spirit, that He makes us become all things to all men in a manner of putting them first, thinking about how they might need to hear it, the Lord in us giving approach that will draw them to receive the Lord easily entreated. They're not going to have to come to us and bear with our way, but we can come to them and be the way Jesus wants to be to them. I mean, He would go out there with the fishermen and share parables. He would be with the farmers and share about farming. You know, He would speak in a way that people could partake of. Sometimes He'd use stories. You know, He didn't just share things like in John chapter 17 with the guys that He was just speaking parables to. He spoke in a manner that they could begin to think and receive and, you know, partake of. And when the disciples were at a place where He needed to speak in a different way, then He spoke differently to them. And then He knew the Spirit would come and make sense of it very shortly after. So, but His heart and His mind were always others. He was always in a place of broken bread and poured out wine, the real meat offering and the real drink offering, giving His life for others through us. That's the Jesus that fills the body. Broken bread, poured out wine. And you'll see in the book of Joel that the real meat offering and the real drink offering that had been robbed from the altars is found again when God puts the real crucified Jesus inside of us. I'll just say that one more time. It's a little key to your homework. But the meal and the drink, the meat and the drink offering that had been robbed from the altars, that was no longer being offered up in the book of Joel, chapter 1, came back to the altars of the hearts of the people who would let the crucified Jesus be in them, broken bread and poured out wine. Who knows if the Lord won't leave us a blessing, even a meal offering and a drink offering. That's Joel. After they had gathered in a solemn assembly spirit that honored the Lord's heart, that cared about the things that were important to Him. There's so much in Joel that parallels and prophesies of the Spirit and the circumstances and even the historical context of what happened here on the day of Pentecost. So much, so much. And the cross that came before and the way the life would be given after. So take some time. I think the Lord could just unwrap that present and just bless your heart so much and also bring you more into the spirit of what's happening here. And then we're going to move forward and share some more as it progresses. So before we close, I'd just like to ask the students here, is there, in what we've shared and seen in this movement of the Spirit giving utterance and how they went out to all these nations and were able to minister to them in this way, is there any kind of specific thing that the Lord kind of spoke to your heart that might just prepare your heart for evangelism or how to approach sharing Jesus with others that you could share with us? I'm sure everybody would be blessed. And also you on Zoom. And I'll ask the students here first, but then if anyone on Zoom just has a comment about how this pattern in Acts and the way they were able to reach people in that manner and spirit speaks to us in how we can be trusting in the Lord and flowing with Him in doing evangelism today. But I'll ask the students first if they have a comment. Yeah, come on up.
I was actually relating this to our Christian counseling class that we had a while back with Jim Allen about how it's a Christian counseling, you should be quick to listen and slow to speak. And I thought with evangelism about when you were talking about being all things to all men, the first step in that is just listening to them. And I was convicted by that, really. So I thought about that a lot. Yeah.
Not something really deep, but I think it just touched my heart to see the heart of the Lord in that the different languages were spoken. It really showed that the Lord knew the people and his love to reach them. You know what I mean? And even the person that speaks it might not know the language at all, so it's really not them. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I saw the heart of the Lord in that, so...
Both of those comments were really precious from the Lord. Thank you so much. Anyone else that has something that would just help all of us to prepare to be his hands and feet together, sharing his heart with others? On Zoom, please feel free to unmute and just share. We'd love to hear from you. Hi, Steve. Amen. You know, it's like the Spirit is speaking through the body that people get the Lord when they see the Lord. And just listening is so contrary to human nature because everybody wants to talk and talk and talk and talk, you know. But just to listen to them literally shows Jesus, doesn't it? It shows them somebody who doesn't have to put themselves forward or their thoughts or opinions first. And you know, we can feel the pressure that you've got to say the name of Jesus. You've got to use scriptures right away. You have to tell them you need to be saved. You know, you can pressure yourself to have to do stuff that in your heart, you know, could hurt them. And it's almost like Jesus in your heart is saying, just love them. Listen to them. Love them where they're at. Let them talk. And the legalism in your brain is saying, throw the law at them. Tell them they need to, you know what I mean? But we need to go with Jesus in our heart and let them see and experience the real Jesus. And sometimes that's as simple as just not talking right away. Tuning into where they're at by the Holy Spirit. We may not be able to learn their language and all of a sudden have a gift of speaking a totally foreign language. That does and can and has happened, like even Steve was sharing. But more realistically, he'll probably, because of Jesus in us, give us the interpretation of their heart and the sensitivity to where they're at and the love and patience to be Jesus to them before trying to make them receive him so they don't go to hell. Amen? Jesus is so beautiful. And then a lot of times after they've received love and had someone care about them and honor what they have to say and take interest in their life and not just try to pull them into another life, they'll ask, what are you about? They want to know what kind of a person would honor me and patiently listen and care about what's important to me and not put me down. Who are you? And then they ask, and then they're ready to receive. And you don't break spirit. You stay Jesus. You stay love. And you let the Lord move in his nature and not just in legalistic commandments that can really alienate someone and misrepresent. And the horrible thing with that is they can think that that's what they have to do to be saved, feel legalistic pressure to do something that's not in their heart yet. You know, God is bringing everyone's ground to a certain time where they're ready to receive. And if that person isn't ready yet, they may be in 3 months, but you might be the person who's just planting a seed today. And maybe the seed that God's giving you that day is to show the love of Jesus by listening to their crazy story and caring about it. Or something that totally does not interest you and you're bored to death, but you're full of attention because of the Spirit of Jesus and you're going to listen because you may be bored, but Christ in you is interested. You may want to go get a hot dog at the hot dog stand right around the corner, but Jesus in you wants to listen to them and love them and buy them a hot dog if they're hungry and not eat lunch for 2 hours if they need you to listen. The love of God is shed abroad in our heart. The Holy Spirit gives us utterance. The Holy Spirit isn't a different nature than Jesus. The Holy Spirit is of that selfless, giving, eternal Spirit that is God. And so he's not just giving us utterance like a mad professor that's teaching math equations on the chalkboard. He's giving utterance in a certain spirit to draw them into life, to know the real Lamb. Amen. So I know that's been a real progressive knowing of the Lord in my life, where when I began, I just felt legalistically pressured to get up off my dorm bed, go to the student union, and tell everybody who would listen to me they need to be saved. And if I didn't tell at least 20 people, I couldn't go back to my dorm room and feel peaceful. It was just legalism pushing me, you know. And then I realized I need to wait till it's the Lord in me and let his life come forth in its time, right? So may the Lord just continue to prepare our hearts to let Jesus live through his body and let it be Jesus. Amen. Let it to be Jesus. So I think our time has just about come to an end. So we can pray, but I feel like, you know, where the dove really landed today is, yes, we did look at a lot of scriptures in Acts and even Joel. But it was a simple point that I think Myrcha and Isaac landed upon, which is wonderful. They're the students here, and it's beautiful that they are hearing what the Spirit is sharing, you know, because they could have said anything, but they came up to the mic and really shared the heart of the thing. And I'm very blessed by that. The real heart of the thing is the Lord is saying, being filled with God and going forth in his power looks as simple as listening to somebody, esteeming them better. That great utterance of the Spirit that looks like foreign languages and a real high exalted thing of I'm speaking in many different languages is as lowly as finding the way they listen and hear life and let that be a language of love that becomes your evangelical language of uttering the Spirit of Jesus into their hearts. You know, it may not be as high and lofty as speaking in a foreign tongue, but in God's world, it's the highest, because it's the lowliness of the Lamb that prefers others better than himself. Amen. So, Lord, we love you. We love the way you are. Lord, I have my ideas about the way you are, who you are, how you do things, what my part and responsibility is. But then Jesus shows up in life, in all of his beauty and love and his true person. And you just lay your life down for folks. You give yourself, Jesus. That's how you evangelized the whole world and all generations. You died on a cross. You didn't speak but a few things from the cross, and it wasn't to preach to them about their sin. You just gave and forgave and loved, asked the Father to not lay things to their charge, offered up your Spirit as an offering, bled, loved. And in that, the whole world heard everything they needed to hear. They didn't have to understand volumes of teaching to hear what you were saying on the cross and receive new life, your life. Lord, we want that same evangelist called Christ crucified to evangelize through us in his selfless nature. For the Holy Spirit to lift that Jesus up inside of us when we're in a conversation or situation, at work, at home, not just on an outreach. Every day we're in these opportunities and realize that we may have fulfilled the whole mission for that moment by just listening, by loving, by letting your nature and your life speak through us. So guide our hearts, Lord, as we continue to be prepared as your body to let your life flow through us to others, that they might truly know you and receive new life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Guys, thank you so much for being a part of the Lord's heart, for being vessels of his nature. I know so many of you do evangelize every day in many little ways, and the Lord is using us already so much. How wonderful. We love you. We thank you for sharing your time with us this morning. We'll see you next time, Lord willing. Bye for now.